Hey, I'm Chris.
What's up? I'm Mars.
And you're listening to Surgery Shelf Prep.
All right, team, today we are hitting a critical, extremely high-yield topic for both the surgery shelf and step two clinical knowledge, colon cancer. This is not just about memorizing a list. You need to know the presentations, the diagnostic workup, the surgical decision-making, and all the traps the exam writers love to set.
Exactly. So here is the game plan. We are going to walk through how colon cancer presents, how we diagnose and stage it, the key surgical rules, and then finish with some classic board-style traps and complications. Let's start with how these patients actually show up. Mars, let's start with the classic contrast between right-sided and left-sided tumors. Picture this. A 75-year-old man presents with fatigue and a new diagnosis of iron deficiency anemia. He denies seeing any blood in the toilet. Where is the tumor most likely?
That picture should make you think of a right-sided or proximal colon cancer. The cecum and ascending colon have a large diameter, so these tumors rarely obstruct early. Instead, they bleed slowly over time. Here is the golden rule. Any elderly patient, meaning men or postmenopausal women, with iron deficiency anemia has colon cancer until proven otherwise. Do not just give them iron supplements and call it a day. They need a colonoscopy.
Perfect. Now contrast that with a 60-year-old who presents with pencil-thin stools, abdominal bloating, and crampy colicky pain. Where is that tumor likely to be?
That is classic for a left-sided, usually in the distal colon or sigmoid colon. The lumen is narrower there and the stool is more solid. These cancers tend to grow in an annular or napkin ring pattern. That leads to obstruction, change in bowel habits, and those pencil-thin stools. That is why imaging such as a barium enema will call this an apple core lesion.
Before we move off presentation, let's hit a classic board vignette. A patient is admitted with infective endocarditis. The blood cultures grow Streptococcus bovis or Streptococcus galliliticus. What is the very next step in management once you have started appropriate antibiotics?
This is a huge red flag. Streptococcus bovis bacteremia is highly associated with colon cancer. So yes, you treat the heart infection, but you must also order a colonoscopy. There is a high chance they have a malignancy hiding in the colon.
So to recap this part, if you hear iron deficiency anemia, no visible blood, elderly, think right-sided colon cancer. If you hear pencil-thin stools, obstruction, left lower quadrant discomfort, think left-sided colon cancer. And Streptococcus bovis, that buys your patient a colonoscopy. Now, let's switch gears into diagnosis, staging, and a bit of genetics. So suspicion is high. We know the gold standard test is colonoscopy with biopsy of the lesion. Once the pathology confirms adenocarcinoma, how do we stage them?
You need a computed tomography scan of the chest, abdomen, and pelvis, all three. Why the chest? Because colon cancer spreads hematogenously. The liver is the number one site of metastasis via the portal vein, and the lungs are the number two site of metastasis, so you must look for both.
And what about CEA, carcinoembryonic antigen? Can I use that as a screening test for colon cancer?
Absolutely not. CEA has low sensitivity and low specificity for screening. You do not use it to screen average-risk patients. CEA is used for two main things. First, establishing a baseline level before surgery, and second, post-operative surveillance to catch recurrences.
Nice. Now let's hit genetics quickly. We know the classic adenoma to carcinoma sequence. That's APC to KRAS to P53. That is the stepwise accumulation of mutations that turns an adenomatous polyp into an invasive cancer. But the exam will definitely ask you about the two big hereditary colon cancer syndromes. What is the first one?
First is familial adenomatous polyposis, or FAP. Defect, mutation in the APC gene, usually autosomal dominant. Presentation, hundreds to thousands of adenomatous polyps carpeting the colon. These patients have essentially a 100% risk of colon cancer by age 40. Management, prophylactic total coloprectectomy, usually in their late teens or early 20s. And there's a shelf note here. Gardner syndrome is basically FAP plus extra colonic tumors, like desmoid tumors in the abdomen and osteomas of the jaw or skull.
And the second big hereditary syndrome?
That is Lynch syndrome, also called hereditary non-polyposis colorectal cancer. Defect mutation in DNA mismatch repair genes, such as MLH1 or MSH1. These are DNA repair genes. presentation, right-sided colon cancers in younger patients, often with few or no polyps beforehand. Use the CEO rule to remember the associated cancers, colon, endometrial, and ovarian cancers. So if a patient has multiple family members with those three cancers, especially at young ages, think Lynch syndrome.
Beautiful. Now let's switch gears into the surgical side because this is a surgery exam. We're in the operating room resecting a colon cancer. What are the technical requirements for a curative resection?
There are two main numbers to remember for the shelf exam. Number one, margins. You need at least 5 centimeters of grossly normal bowel margin proximally and distally from the tumor. Number two, lymph nodes. You must harvest at least 12 lymph nodes in the specimen. If you get fewer than 12 nodes, the staging is considered inadequate and the patient is automatically at higher risk and often gets more aggressive adjuvant therapy.
And what about blood supply? What vessels are we ligating for the standard colectomies that show up on exams?
For a right hemicolectomy, which includes the cecum and ascending colon, you ligate the ileocolic artery and often the right branch of the middle colic artery. For a left hemicolectomy involving the sigmoid colon and descending colon, you ligate the inferior mesenteric artery. On exams, they often simplify that to ligate the inferior mesenteric artery.
All right, Mars, let's level up and talk about the traps and complications that separate the pass level students from the honors level students. I'm going to throw some common scenarios at you. Trap number one, a 60-year-old patient has left lower quadrant pain, fever, and leukocytosis. A computed tomography scan shows wall thickening and inflammation in the sigmoid colon. You treat them for diverticulitis with antibiotics, bowel rest, maybe fluids, and they get better. Are you done?
No, you are not done. This is the diverticulitis fakeout. A perforated or inflamed cancer can look exactly like diverticulitis on computed tomography. The rule is every patient with a first episode of diverticulitis needs a colonoscopy about 6 to 8 weeks later, after the inflammation has resolved, to rule out an underlying colon cancer.
Trap number two, intraoperative complication. You're performing a sigmoid colectomy for colon cancer. What structure are you especially worried about injuring?
The ureter, specifically the left ureter. It runs under the sigmoid mesentery and crosses the iliac vessels. The classic phrase is water under the bridge, where water is the ureter. If a patient has flank pain, a urinoma, or a fluid collection after surgery, you must consider a ureter injury and get appropriate imaging. If a fluid collection is high in creatinine, then you have a ureter injury.
All right, let's bring it home with a rapid-fire recap. 5 high-yield facts you absolutely need to have locked in for colon cancer questions.
Number one, iron deficiency anemia in an elderly patient is colon cancer until proven otherwise. Do a colonoscopy. Number two, Streptococcus bovis bacteremia means mandatory colonoscopy. Always think about an underlying colon malignancy. Number three, surgical rules for a curative colon cancer resection are 5 centimeter margins on each side of the tumor and at least 12 lymph nodes in the specimen. Number four, CEA is used to evaluate for colon cancer recurrence and is not used for diagnosis. Number five, after an episode of diverticulitis, patients need a follow-up colonoscopy about 6 to 8 weeks later to make sure there is no cancer hiding in the inflamed segment.
That's the tea on colon cancer for the surgery shelf. Replay this episode on your commute, between cases, or on a walk, and let it sink in.
All right, team, no bogus answers today. Keep studying, keep grinding, and we will see you next time here on Surgery Shelf Prep.